This is the Morning Conversation on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
We're joined live this morning from Washington, D.C., U.S. Senator Jeff Merkley. Senator, good morning.
Good morning. Good to be with you on the first day of summer.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about warm weather here in a moment. I wanted to hit a number of things, though, in the brief time we have together. I know Douglas County, your office, and others put out information recently about federal help for Douglas County in terms of the emergency radio system and the upgrade. Talk about that.
Oh, absolutely. Well, previously, I had worked to get a community-initiated project grant, and that was about $60 million. But this is a much larger sum of money. This is $16.5 million that will help with the upgrade in Douglas County. This type of communications is essential to fire and police responses to serve the people. And quite frankly, a lot of our counties, these systems have gotten old and ineffective and really affects emergency response and coordination.
Well, I know one of the things of the Biden administration is constantly the term infrastructure, and it seems like as a lot of things technologically have evolved, that has made the fact that some infrastructure in a lot of different levels is aging and needs to be updated or replaced really a big issue, but it all costs, it comes at a steep cost, which is certainly hard for counties to absorb.
Oh no, it's true. The good news is that we're investing more in infrastructure than any time since we built the interstate highway system. The bad news is that that type of massive construction means the construction companies are maxed out, the design companies, the architects are maxed out, and it does make it more expensive to get the work done. So that's kind of the dilemma. But on the other hand, on balance, I'd rather be building the infrastructure than not.
And for the county, obviously, they've been working, trying to find a way to get this system upgraded. County Douglas County has so many rural areas. It's really essential for communication and certainly could be a potential safety issue for deputies and just a lot of other situations.
Oh, Undoubtedly. And that's why, you know, when I do these initial projects or counties say, what's our top priority? And they said their top priority was this system. That's where I got the $330,000 for that project last year. But this larger amount of money on this really is the $16.5 million is really a huge factor in getting this actually to happen.
Well, I wanted to also ask about a letter you sent with Senator Wyden and Congresswoman Hoyle to VA leadership regarding the ask to use federal funds to realize this Roseburg Veterans Home. Where are we at there?
You know, Roseburg has kind of been the epicenter of great service to our veterans. It has just such a legacy, and so many veterans live in the area. And so getting this veterans home built in Douglas County, in Roseburg, is a top priority. So this is where we're really asking for the support to close the deal, to make this happen. The state legislature funded $35 million towards the project. It leaves about a remaining $65 million that are needed from the VA. And so that's the request that I led with the support of both Wyden and Val Hoyle to try to secure the ability to move this forward and move it forward fast.
Any idea what the best possible timeline could be on that happening?
Well, if we get the money now, it really still normally takes a schedule, and I don't have the details in front of me, but to complete the design work and then secure the contractor and so forth, I figure that we'd really be looking at the funding in FY fiscal year 25. And then trying to complete the construction within, well, the quickest possible schedule. And I don't know if that's a two-year schedule, but I doubt it's much less than that.
Wanted to also, because of the weather today, beginning of summer and 90-degree hot streak, talk about this in relation to fire danger and fire season. How do we make our forests safer and reduce the number of burns that we're having?
Yeah, so there are multiple things we can do, and the funding that I've gotten for forest management, it's about 10 times what it was when I got engaged in this topic, but it basically can do three things. You do more thinning, you do more mowing, you do more prescribed burns, you try to focus those on the interface between the forest and the urban area, something that's called the WUI interface, wildland urban interface, because if you make a forest more fire resilient, but it's 30 miles away from a town, well, that's probably not going to save the town. So for the amount of funds we have, we want to try to maximize protection for our small towns, our residences. So that's a big piece. Then you've got to crank up the firefighting as well. This is where we've been trying to stop, and I say we, Senator Wyden and I, have really focused on ending the process in which the firefighters run out of money, so then they have to shut down everything else the Forest Service does in order to fund the firefighting. It's kind of a rob Peter to pay Paul situation, and that's been successful now for about 5 or 6 years. But under the national constraints for spending, in combination with the longer, hotter, fiercer fire seasons, it's still a battle we were engaged in.
And a lot of local groups point to the idea of more active forest management from the federal level as a way to improve the health of the forest, but also reduce the fire potential. Your thoughts?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. When I'm talking about the thinning and the mowing, and by mowing, you're basically cutting down a lot of the brush on the forest floor, the prescribed burns, those are the three big instruments we have that I've been raising a lot more money for. And realize when you do that thinning, that you are creating jobs in the woods, jobs in the log trucks, and jobs in the mill. So it also has a positive, not just an impact on the resilience to fire, but an impact on the supply of sawlogs for our local mills.
And I wanted to jump over and ask you, you've been doing some town halls recently. What are you hearing from residents of Oregon about what they'd like to see coming out of Congress?
Well, one of the things that's coming up a tremendous amount is the cost of housing, both buying housing and renting housing. It's obliterating the vision of home ownership for our children. And so one of the things I'm doing is proposing getting the hedge funds, those other private equity funds where millionaires and billionaires, they are now big into buying up residences, which is driving up the housing market to incredible levels and stealing the promise, the dream of home ownership from the next generation. So yes, there's many other programs, first time down payer and the vouchers, for example, to help our veterans rent a home, so on and so forth. But we need to kick the hedge funds out of the housing business. Cost of drugs, that's a second big hot topic because we put more into the R&D for drug development, but we pay the highest prices in the developed world. We should get the best prices, not the worst. And it's because of the power of the pharmaceutical lobby. Well, let's elect people who will take on the pharmaceutical lobby, who will back bills like the one I proposed that says they can't charge us more than they charge any other major developed country. And let's really do more to tackle behavioral health care. The mental health issues are coming up in the context of homelessness, prison population, our schools. COVID had a big impact on our kids, so that's a big issue. And then folks are really really raising in almost every town hall that we've got to get an ethics structure in place for the Supreme Court. The some $6 million that the Supreme Court justices have taken as gifts over the last two decades, and often from people who have issues before the court, it just really, it's unacceptable. No one in the executive branch or the congressional branch, we all have ethics laws to prevent those conflicts of interest, but the Supreme Court has been blind. And justice may be blind, but we must not be blind to injustice. The court has to have legitimacy, and they have to quit taking these conflict of interest mega gifts from powerful people.
As we wrap up here, what is some of the legislation that you're focused on getting introduced later in the year?
Well, Senator Wyden and I are very determined to renew secure rural schools, which has a big impact on counties like Douglas County. That is a program that only benefits a handful of states, but benefits Oregon far more than any other state. So Senator Wyden and I carry that battle. And that really, the funding coming through the Appropriations Committee, it's why I negotiated to get on the Appropriations Committee when I ran for the Senate, because Oregon hadn't had anybody on it, on the spending committee, since Senator Hatfield retired. So that was very important. So serving in that role to make sure there's an Oregon perspective, an Oregon voice on every spending decision we make as a federal government is a key part of the role. And we will be trying to get those spending bills for the next year. And the year starts on October 1st, the spending year. But in a campaign year, that rarely happens. It probably means at the end of this year, post-election, it's going to be 100% attention to trying to get those bills done. We don't want a government shutdown, not before the election, not after the election. We want to have fiscal responsibility. We've already reached out a deal for the top line, which is basically flat funding. But within that flat funding, let's make the smartest, let's do more of what works and stop doing the things that don't work.
All right, U.S. Senator Jeff Merkley out of time this morning. But, Senator, thanks for joining us from Washington, D.C.
Kyle, you're so welcome. Happy first day of summer to everyone, and find ways to stay cool.
All right, Senator Jeff Merkley joining us there on the Morning Report, 843.